Welcome to The Secrets of Success. By following the proven techniques of the guests who appear on this series, you'll learn that even successful people run into detours and failures, and how you can apply their success techniques to change your life.
You're now listening to the most unique show on radio, the show dedicated to making you a success. If you want to live the life you want, then take the decision makeover with our guest, Mike Whitaker. Mike, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you.
Mike, you've written a book called The Decision Makeover, and as I've said to you before the show, I think that's the first time in almost 30 years that we've been on the air that someone wrote a book about how to make a decision. So it's great to have the expert on and someone who can help us. So let's start out with, do successful people approach decision-making differently?
Well, I think what I've observed in my own life and my peers, and then talking to a great many people, is that success is the result of good decision-making, especially earlier in life. Therefore, when we say, do successful people decide differently, I would say that's the way they got to be successful, and the way they maintain success is to continue to make a series of good decisions in their lives, especially in the primary, I call the biggie category of decision-making. So I think they do make decisions differently, and as well as when they make a mistake, they react differently. And so we can touch on any part of that that you like.
There's a lot there. That's about three shows worth. Now, does decision-making differ by age? Do we change from when we were 18 to 35 to 55 to maybe 75?
We do. As we know, as we get older, wisdom grows, and when we're younger, we think we know everything. And I've got teenagers myself, and one of the reasons I wrote this book was because I saw decision-making illustrated with my teenagers, and I really wanted to find if we could find some common ground and talk about the good choices they need to be making in their lives. And so, yes, I talk about decision zones in my book. I found that there are three primary zones that people experience in their lives. The first zone is the prep zone, and this is really through the age of 16, where you're learning, you're building, you're adapting to the world, you're seeing what it's about, and your parents have a great influence, and of course your friends do about what you're doing, but you're not necessarily CEO of your own life yet. And then the middle zone is the critical zone. Critical zone runs from about the age of 17 to the age of 35, and it's where we make most of our biggest decisions in life. It's where we set ourselves up for happiness, or we set ourselves up for a whole lot of repair and regret. And that critical zone has got a lot of the biggie decisions in it. How we do with those decisions in the critical zone determines the next zone, which is called the consequences zone. It's really the rest of our life. After the age of 35, we're pretty much set up. You're not really going to change careers or at least area of expertise beyond the age of 40. But you're going to live another 30 to 60 years, and you're going to be experiencing the consequences of your earlier decisions. And I know that's sobering, but in a lot of ways, the consequences are dividends, and they could be happiness. They could be contentment with our decisions. But as a warning, that zone, the consequences zone, kind of makes us maybe a little more aware, a little more sensitive to what we're doing today, because we know in the future we have to live with those results.
You mentioned something early on, and we had talked about it just before the show, you and I. You used a comment, we are the CEO of our lives. Well, we all see here today, CEO of this business, and this one's retiring with a $40 million golden parachute. But that really is a great way to look at it, and it impressed me as I started thinking of your book, because every decision we make is the same, in fact, even more important than someone doing it for a company, because this is our life. This is the most important thing to us.
Yeah, I think one of the things I observed with people I talk to, I say, how are you doing? How I meet strangers and we'll have a conversation. At some point, if you can get somebody to just be honest, I've heard so often, this is not where I wanted to be in my life. And that comment, that is it's pretty common. And they had bigger or better expectations for themselves at whatever point they're in their life. And so I realized that most people don't own and really feel like they're in complete control over their life. And in reality, they are. Life doesn't happen to you. But people certainly stay in a reactive mode. Maybe it's easier. Maybe it makes it so that you don't have to decide proactively. But if you look at who's successful, those folks are up earlier in the morning thinking about what they're going to do in the day. They do annual planning for their goals. They do things to take control over their life. Instead of being a reacting victim, they're taking control. And if they don't like something, they do something about it. And so the trajectory of their success, and I want to make sure I define success here, it's their own trajectory, because success is a personal plan. I know a lot of people that have a lot of money that are very unhappy. Money is not success. Success, what I've figured out after talking to people, is a balance of what you wanted for your life, you know, the scrapbook of your journey, what you wanted to accomplish, do, live, love, experience. Those are all your pieces of success that you assemble, hopefully, the way you want them. Now, that personal plan for success, you put that in pieces, in areas of categories like career or relationships or, money and travel and all these things, experiences and family. Those are all the categories. You have goals for each of those. Those all determine your overall success for you. And those goals should be driving your decision-making today. And that's the link. That's what this book does. This book puts your goal in the distance for each of these big categories, and you drive toward that with as little detour as possible with good decision-making. And if you do that, you will have success, and you will be happier with yourself.
Mike, I'd like to...
when we don't...
I'm sorry. I want you to finish the answer first. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Well, if you fail to take the shortest path toward your goal, it means you made some bad decisions, which turned into detours. And one of the things about decision-making consequences is some consequences last a day, you know, like indigestion after a spicy meal.
Okay.
But some consequences last 5, 10, and 20 years or a lifetime. And so some detours are insurmountable. They may throw us off our game. They throw us off the track toward the success we wanted from ourselves. And I believe people need to understand it's just like driving. If you take a wrong turn, you are at the wheel. You can get yourself back on that, you know, the route you need to get to your goal. It's a matter of decision making. And we are going to make mistakes. But as the book tries to walk you through, knowing the difference between the big and the medium and the small decisions is a good discipline to start out. And we treat those size decisions differently. And so I don't want to go beyond much of your question, but it is a purposeful thing that people are in control over their own success. And I think that awareness is one of the things this book delivers.
Now, Mike, when you say this book, I want our audience to know this book is The Decision Makeover, An Intentional Approach to Living the Life You Want. And I think most of us would bring success down to that, whether it's going to soccer games, having a little more time to spend with our children, with our spouse, with our friends, maybe just a little more free time, maybe getting that vacation house, whatever that is. It's by our guest today, Mike Whitaker, W-H-I-T-A-K-E-R. And Mike, I'd ask you where the book is available and if there's a website you want to tell us about.
Sure. The book publishes on September 12th to the public. It's available for pre-order at a nice discount on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. It'll be in a lot of the major independent bookstores as well. It's available in links on my website, too, at MikeWhitaker.com. So many ways to find it, we're really very excited about it.
And, Mike, whether someone is listening to The Secrets of Success for the first time or they're regular listeners, we always tell you the only way for you to become successful, we put the information out there, but you have to take action. Go out, get a copy of this book. It's an easy read. It's about 200 pages. Start reading through it. If you get one idea, and believe me, you're going to get more than one, probably 50 or 100, that you can underline or highlight that can start to change your life in easy ways, all of a sudden you're on that success track, and things that were hard before are going to be a lot easier for you. Now, Mike, you mentioned in the book that we literally have opportunities that come to us every day in the form of decision making, but yet we tend to make bad decisions often. Can you bring those two together? Why do we do that? You would think that we're well-schooled. We can listen to TED Talks. We can literally take college courses or read books like yours at home. Why do we keep making these bad decisions?
Sure. Well, one of the causes of bad decision-making is not being in the right mindset. And this is a very human thing. But there's a character in my book I call the Decisionator. And the Decisionator is you and I and anyone else listening at their worst when it comes to decision-making. And I went looking for why do people create the decision that goes bad. And literally, the majority of the time, they're not in the right mindset to do so. And I can illustrate this by explaining the points that we experience in daily life where we are not in a great position to think clearly. And this, again, is a human thing. There's nobody at fault here. It just happens to us. Things like being in a hurry, you know, like a salesperson says, oh, you have to decide today. Well, that leads to poor decision-making, right? Being prideful, where we're doing something out of pride and not really what's in our best interest, like, you know, quitting something over pride versus principle or things like that. Being angry, making decisions when we're angry. Being in a depressive state, you know, like we've had a lot of stress or a lot of anxiety, maybe we're depressed and we go looking for something that feels good for right now. And that can lead to poor decision-making. Having fear, high fear. Again, we seek safety, we seek comfort, but it may lead to poor decision-making, especially the people we might hang around with. Being rejected. If you've been rejected either by, you know, in a career or in a relationship, some of the early decision-making you do following that can be harmful. Being tired, you know, being fatigued. We don't make good decisions when we're tired. And these are things that our minds don't realize that we're in that state. It's a little bit like being having a little too much to drink and you're not quite sure how capable you are. The trick here is to figure out, I'm not in a good state of mind to make a big decision right now. I'm going to pause. One more thing about one more trait of the decision maker is having too much hope, using hope as a bridge to take the place of good, hard fact-finding about whether or not you should go, you know, take, you know, option A or option B. Hope doesn't help you at all, and people often rely too much on hope. So those are the examples the book describes to the decisionator, and when we are that character in our lives, we will create bad decisions. So when you ask, why do we do it? We tend to do it, if I sum it all up, because it feels good at the moment, but it did not connect to our goals. And the book says that if we understand why we make a decision, it should connect to our goal. If we have a good why, then we know we did the right thing.
Mike,
but we will make mistakes. So,
would you suggest when we have a decision, reasonably a tough one or, you know, more than the ordinary daily one, to give ourselves some amount of time, whether it's 12, 24, 48 hours, to kind of digest it, literally sleep on it, and maybe even talk it over with a few people who could give us direction?
Yes, that's a great summary there. There's three different levels we go through in the discipline I try to use in the book. One is connect the option that most gets you closest to your goal. If you cannot exactly, like if you can't figure out which goal is helped better by that or whether or not it helps or hurts, the second thing we do is look at the consequences. So option A has certain consequences and certain benefits. Option B has different consequences. And so I instruct you, choose the set of consequences you can live with most. If those are equal, and we still cannot figure this out, I do what's called a decision triangulation, where I ask you to speak to two people and then also use your own opinion instincts as a third opinion. The first person is someone who loves you unconditionally. The second person is somebody you respect who is not related to you in any way, but you respect their opinion. And between those two people and your own instincts, you will most likely make a great decision of your options you've got.
Mike,
I suggest we do.
I have to make a decision now, and that's to take a brief break from The Secrets of Success. But at this point in the show, we like to remind our audience that you're listening to The Secrets of Success, and my name is Bill Horan. The show is produced at 90.3 WHPC at Nassau Community College. We'll be right back after this brief intermission.
This program is brought to you by Nassau Community College, which offers a paralegal studies program. Students can major in paralegal studies while earning their associate's degree, or earn a paralegal certificate if they already have a college degree. These programs can even help you start a second career as a paralegal. It's a program for anyone who wants to work in a law office assisting lawyers, the government, or a position in an insurance company. More information about full-time, part-time, days, evenings, weekends, or online courses is available by calling 516-572-7774 or by email at paralegal@ncc.edu.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Secrets of Success. I'm your host, Bill Horan, and today we're speaking with Mike Whitaker, author of The Decision Makeover. Mike, one of the comments you make in your book is something that literally I just came across in the last few days. I was dealing with a person in their 70s, and they were getting very stressed over a situation, and I had said to them, well, why don't you just go to your attorney or accountant about this, and they're knowledgeable and they can straighten it out. You make a great point of saying part of decision-making is knowing when we're less than capable, and I guess going out there and either getting some advice or basically shutting ourselves down for the day and saying, wait, I'll make the decision tomorrow. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, I think the pause, the comforting and the necessary pause when we know we're not in the right state of mind, when we are that decisionator that will make a decision today that's not in our best interest, we have to take that pause. And, you know, little things that, you know, people may want an answer right now, and but little things we can say like, you know, can I get back to you tomorrow? Can I sleep on it? Let me think about it and I'll respond to you, you know, next week. Let me talk to my attorney or CPA. Let me visit with my spouse. These are things that are buying time, and you know the instincts in your mind are really good at processing things with a good night's sleep over time. Again, I think anything rushed is really a great deal, and so I think you're right. For that person you were talking to, simply saying to calm down and actually defer to someone else. They can put the burden on someone else, a professional, and say, look, I don't want to worry about this. I'm going to give you this problem. I want you to solve it for me. That's perfectly fine.
And I've worked in the corporate world for many years, and the lawyers would tell us, put the burden on me. This way you stay to be the good guy. No matter what happens, They were being paid literally to be the bad person, meaning sometime they had to say no or make it a little more difficult, but they were doing it as the company's representative, you know, with good reason. So sure. I think that's saving a little time and just realizing that there's usually somebody, whether it's a mechanic, it's a plumber, it's a painter, attorney, accountant, financial planner, someone's out there that can help you with the problem. And sometimes a little bit of advice gets you a lot of nights of good 8 hours sleep and kind of makes the problem go away.
Absolutely.
Mike, you said that it's important to define roadblocks. You told us we have to get goals so we know where we're heading. And it's important to define roadblocks. Now, why? That's something unusual. I never heard that before.
Well, we are going to make mistakes along the way. It's a long journey, and there's a lot of decisions we are going to make. It's inevitable due to other people or our own wants and needs. We're going to make mistakes. So if we go ahead and assume that, because we're not going to be perfect, what we have to do, and this is another trait of successful people, they recognize bad decisions faster than other people do. And when they see a decision that's gone bad, like, oh, wow, I shouldn't have hired that person, or I shouldn't have taken that job, or I shouldn't have done this, or I shouldn't have bought that too expensive of a car or a house. What successful people do is recognize it faster. And then in the book I recommend that, you know, that you do one of two things. I call it, you first either fail fast, which is call it a day. You've got enough data, your instincts are screaming at you, and move on. Get out of that relationship. Quit waiting for the same thing that's been around the same way for years to get better. It's not going to. Fail fast is a strategy that successful people do. Get it over with. The alternative is to fix fast, which is, all right, you have all the evidence you need that the current situation isn't working, then fix it. And by fixing it doesn't mean try harder. Fixing means you restructure the deal. As an attorney, you can relate. You restructure the contract, change the terms of a relationship or the job, change the responsibilities, structurally change something about the deal so it has a chance of being successful for you. roadblocks are when you fail to decide and you have this thing hanging there right that's in front of you. You can't get past it. We can't get to our goal when we have all this baggage. And so we need to fail or fix fast. And that's a significant piece of the discipline of a successful person.
Mike, once again, I'd like our audience to know our guest today is Mike Whitaker. His book is The Decision Makeover. And Mike, could you tell us, is there a website we could go to if we want to learn more about this?
Absolutely. My website, MikeWhitaker.com, that's MikeWhitaker.com, features this book, features detailed descriptions. It also features some free downloads of introductions in Chapter 1, there's actually several, probably half a dozen personal activities that the book asks you to go through to take inventory of some things you want, some trend things about you have you only you would know about yourself that'll help you in your decision makeover. There's good resources there. You can learn more about what I'm doing. But the best word I think in this whole project for me has been the word makeover. And I want to make sure I emphasize that. It's a hopeful word. Because no matter where we are in life, we can start making good decisions to get what we want going forward. And I call that concept the big reset in the book, because a lot of folks, when they get to mid-career or midlife, it's not what they exactly wanted. There's a whole lot of unmet goals and dreams they've got. I say, okay, let's take stock of where we're at. Let's reset our goals, and let's get rid of some of the clutter. And let's do the big reset. And the book walks you through on how to do that. And in any age, that can be done. And I think that's with the word makeover, I think that's a very uplifting and refreshing way to look at life.
And it takes part for all of us. We're all making decisions. It doesn't have to be just business. It might be personal life, might be PTA, church groups, civic groups that we work with. Just going through daily life, what clubs should the children join? What clubs should I join? Maybe not join, maybe get out of. A lot of good ideas. And if you're looking for some advice and just to get a new way of thinking and maybe discuss with your friends, Mike's book is called The Decision Makeover. It's by our guest, Mike Whitaker, Whitaker. And once again, by the end of the show, we'll also ask him once again to give you that information. If you didn't get it down, please do so. Mike, you said there's five prime goals we should look at. Can you give us an example of this? And do major leaders do this?
I think leaders keep goals for themselves and the goals for the company right at the forefront, because that's your weather vane, that's your compass. On everything you do, your goals actually point to that's true north. And so I think the prime goal concept is this, is that if everything's important, nothing's important. You might have heard that before, something like that. You can't have too many goals at one time, because it's very difficult to make progress. It's like, how many balls in the air can you juggle? And so what I suggest to people is to identify just five goals. Let's call those our prime goals. And those change throughout life. As we make progress, we substitute one goal for another as we hit a new milestone. So with the five prime goals, I ask you to list those, what's most important to you right now, the way you see your world. And then these are goals of things you're going to attain. And then you pick one, number one. Here's where the discipline for a number one goal needs some work for all of us. If it's truly number one, that means everything else is subservient to it. So let's say my number one goal is to, let's just take an old one, quit smoking, for example, for my health, it's my health. Then every decision I make has got to be subservient to making sure number one happens. What I eat, what I do, what I exercise, who I hang around, where I go. No, if the number one goal is number one, then act like it. And then once you accomplish it, you'll have a new number one. But the way number one goals get achieved is because they are king for the day. And they always get honored, and the decisions are made to serve that number one goal. If you do that in life, you'll keep knocking down your number one, calling it a success, and you'll then replace it with the next goal.
Mike, that almost sounds...
That's how to use it.
And I have a note here to myself. I said, that almost sounds too easy for us, because very simply, if we want to lose weight, and it's funny, I find that people tend to say, oh, I want to lose weight by Johnny's wedding, and they will lose 20 pounds. They'll probably gain it back afterward, but they will lose the weight. But if we have a real goal and if we aim for that, whether it's going to the, if it's losing weight, you know, doing exercise, cutting down on food, et cetera, all of the good things you're supposed to do, we're usually going to succeed or at least have a lot more success in that direction than if we don't. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's about focus. That's why I only ask you to have five goals at one time and specifically name one of them number one. In fact, I think that's what's rare. I think most people say, yes, I have goals. But very few people have actually labeled which one's number one. And that's what's the missing piece, because you can't cultivate five goals or three goals highly at all times. You have to pick. If you pick, you will hit it, because everything else is secondary to that. And, you know, there's some real tough decision-making going on now in the working world, in careers, people having to rethink their career and their income, and they're not happy where it's at today. Well, if the number one goal is to change your income, then everything you do, every decision you make is going to be toward that goal. Or if it's to change your career for the better, you're going to be making decisions to get additional expertise, network with additional people, find some new interests, learn more about technology. So by labeling number one, I find that's what's rare. People aren't doing that. If they just do that one thing, they're going to find a more clarity in how they're going to achieve that, what they want in their life.
And actually, it makes it very simple for all of us, because if the job is getting a new job, or as you said, it can be networking, talking to others, putting out resumes, taking new courses, reading books on some subject, eventually we are going to come across something that accelerates that change. Mike, unfortunately, our time goes much too quickly, especially with a guest like yourself. I'd like our audience to know, if you'd like to know more about this and make better decisions in your life, the book is called The Decision Makeover, and Mike emphasized the key word is makeover. It's by our guest, Mike Whitaker, Whitaker. And Mike, would you give us that website one more time?
Sure. It's MikeWhitaker.com. MikeWhitaker.com. And the book's The Decision Makeover, and it's publishing nationally September 12th.
Mike, thanks so much for being with us. We had a great time tonight. We'd like to let our audience know that you've been listening to The Secrets of Success on 90.3 WHPC. I'm your host, Bill Horan, asking you to please join us again next week at the same time when we will continue our journey to success.